When did you decide that you could make a living out of making people laugh?
I didn't. You decide once it starts to make a living for you, I think. I mean, it's different because I started 7 years ago, and I didn't start with the thought of ever being able to make a living from it. I just loved comedy so much, and starting stand-up was incredible, and it was just a hobby. And then it started to go well, and then people started to give me bits and bobs of money for it. I remember when someone gave me £5 after doing a gig for them, after doing 10 minutes, and I was the happiest I've ever been. I was so happy that someone gave me £5 for a gig. And you know, it's just that's the way it was, and it just grew suddenly, and then some people give me £20, and then you just go, oh, okay, maybe I can actually make a small living out of this. But the main thing that I try and focus on is to remember that when you loved it that much, that was when you did your best work, you know, when you really, really loved it, and not driven by sort of your money or being on a different TV show or whatever.
The thing is, Joel, comedy is all things to all people, isn't it? Whether it's McIntyre, Tim Vine, Mumford, whatever. How difficult is it to exploit a gap in the comedy market that's not already been taken and actually make a success of it, which you obviously are doing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really view it like a business like that, like sort of like maybe a company. You might view it going, oh, there's a gap in the market there, I'm going to go for that. Because with comedy, it's personal. So you've got what you've got. You know, I've got what I've got, and I'm a slightly sort of camp, energetic performer because that's kind of what I'm like in life. And what's interesting is where people make that decision straight away. So when they start doing comedy, Tim Vine didn't make a decision to be a puns person. He just kind of started doing that. That's what he loved, and that was his influences. So yeah, I didn't really decide to be like this. It kind of, and then you mold it and shape it into something that actually works. And you can make anything work. I think there's, you know, you can go, and there's so much stuff now in the comedy. It's because of Edinburgh Festival, you can be really obscure and really strange and weird and still be a massive success. Or you could be Michael McIntyre and, you know, be a success at that and be utterly accessible. And there's so many different levels of it all in comedy now. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So everyone can thrive and survive. It's really great.
Impractical Jokers on BBC Three, Joel. That looked a lot of fun to do, was it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it looks a lot of fun, and it is a lot of fun to do. But I stress out so much. It's basically, you know, if you've seen it, it's kind of almost a prank show, really, where four comedians they sort of try and one-upmanship and try and play pranks on each other, and it just stresses me out because I was brought up really. You know, my mum brought me up brilliantly. A very nice, very polite young lad I am.
Where did it all go wrong then?
I know, exactly. And now this BBC Three show forces me to go out on the streets and talk to strangers and say rude things to them. And, like, I have to do it, otherwise I have to do a worse forfeit.
Yeah, there was one particular offbeat forfeit, wasn't there, in the dry cleaners? Just remind us about that.
Yes. Well, basically, I lost the show. So I had to just go into a dry cleaners in Islington in London, and it was a beautiful day. I remember it being the most beautiful day, and there was loads of people just like sat on the streets, like in cafes and stuff. And I had to walk into this dry cleaners and say to her, I wanted to get some dry cleaning done. And she was like, okay. And she's like, what would you like to get done? And then I just had to take off all of my clothes, like all of them. But there was nothing left at all. And then walk out of the dry cleaners completely naked.
What was going through your mind when you actually walked out of the shop, naked, into the high street?
The thing that was going through my mind was, like, to tell everyone that it's not usually this small. And it really stressed me out. And also the fact that there's just people. It would have been all right if it was a terrible day where it was raining. No, there was just loads of people on the street. And there's this cafe opposite. Everyone was just looking at you. And then afterwards, once it was done, I was like, that was horrific.